he can make trouble. Arnold stubbed out his cigarette. Let's wait and see what happens, he said. We believe in the park. Let's see how it plays out. Muldoon got off the elevator, nodded to the ground floor guard, and went downstairs to the basement. He flicked on the lights. The basement was filled with 24 Land Cruisers arranged in neat rows. These were the electric cars that would eventually form an endless loop, touring the park, returning to the visitor center. In the corner was a Jeep with a red stripe, one of 2 gasoline-powered vehicles. Harding, the vet, had taken the other that morning, which could go anywhere in the park, even among the animals. The Jeeps were painted with a diagonal red stripe because, for some reason, it discouraged the Triceratops from charging the car. Muldoon moved past the Jeep toward the back. The steel door to the armaments room was unmarked. He unlocked it with his key and swung the heavy door wide. Gun racks lined the interior. He pulled out a Randler's shoulder launcher and a case of canisters. He tucked 2 gray rockets under his other arm. After locking the door behind him, he put the gun into the back seat of the Jeep. As he left the garage, he heard the distant rumble of thunder. "Looks like rain," Ed Regis said, glancing up at the sky. The Land Cruisers had stopped again near the sauropod swamp. A large herd of apatosaurs was grazing at the edge of the lagoon, eating the leaves of the upper branches of the palm trees. In the same area were several duck-billed hadrosaurs, which in comparison looked much smaller. Of course, Tim knew the hadrosaurs weren't really small. It was only that the apatosaurs were so much larger. Their tiny heads reached 50 feet into the air, extending out on their long necks. "The big animals you see are commonly called Varanosaurus," the recording said, "but they are actually Apatosaurus. They weigh more than 30 tons. That means a single animal is as big as a whole herd of modern elephants. And you may notice that their preferred area, alongside the lagoon, is not swampy. Despite what the books say, brontosaurs avoid swamps. They prefer dry land."
"Brontosaurus is the biggest dinosaur, Lex," Ed Regis said.
Tim didn't bother to contradict him. Actually, Brachiosaurus was 3 times as large, and some people thought Ultrasaurus and Seismosaurus were even larger than Brachiosaurus. Seismosaurus might have weighed 100 tons. Alongside the apatosaurs, the smaller hadrosaurs stood on their hind legs to get at foliage. They moved gracefully for such large creatures. Several infant hadrosaurs scampered around the adults, eating the leaves that dropped from the mouths of the larger animals. "The dinosaurs of Jurassic Park don't breed," the recording said. "The young animals, you see, were introduced a few months ago, already hatched, but the adults nurture them anyway." There was the rolling growl of thunder. The sky was darker, lower, and menacing.
"Yeah, looks like rain, all right," Ed Regis said.
The car started forward, and Tim looked back at the hadrosaurs. Suddenly, off to one side, he saw a pale yellow animal moving quickly. There were brownish stripes on its back. He recognized it instantly.
"Hey," he shouted, "stop the car!"
"What is it?" Ed Regis said.
"Quick, stop the car!"
"We move on now to see the last of our great prehistoric animals, the stegosaurs," the recorded voice said.
"What's the matter, Tim?"
"I saw one! I saw one in the field out there!"
"Saw what?"
"A raptor in that field!"
"The stegosaurs are a mid-Jurassic animal, evolving about 170 million years ago," the recorded voice said.